May God be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes out ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. To God, lover, beloved in love. Amen. I'd like to focus on the Acts reading this morning. When our spiritual ancestors were wondering about Jesus, who he was, what he did, why he did it, they developed some beautiful language to make sense of it all. We call this theology, ways of talking that help our hearts and minds connect to God. One of the most important theological ideas that came forward was called incarnation. Incarnation is the vision of God where God breaks the barrier between the eternal and the temporal by becoming flesh in Jesus Christ. We are all familiar with the opening words of the Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And later, and the Word became flesh, incarnate, and lived among us, full of grace and truth. And this incarnate Word, Jesus Christ, translated, interpreted the divine message of God into words for human ears and hearts to understand. It's a beautiful theology with many implications. Did the incarnation happen once, a long time ago, or does it continue to happen in each generation? How is Jesus made known in our own day, in new places, in new circumstances? I wonder if these were the questions being asked by the first followers of Jesus following Jesus' departure. Jesus is now gone. He who died, rose from the dead, taught his disciples several days, has now ascended into heaven. The disciples are alone. Their leader has left. What were they to do now? And then something extraordinary happened. It was as though the breath of God entered into each one of them, filling their spiritual lungs. It was as though their tongues became licks of fire, and as God's breath escaped, they spoke wonderful things, things about Jesus, things about God, things that captivated listeners' hearts. It was as though Jesus, who was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, was incarnate again by the same Spirit and born of the Church. And the disciples realized that incarnation was not a one-time thing, but the beginning of a movement that would stretch through time and space, bringing God into every nook and cranny until the whole world is filled with the breath of God and speaking with tongues of fire. The story that started so long ago in the Acts of the Apostles is but the first chapter. The book is famously unfinished, as though the reader is to pick up where the author leaves off and continue to bring God, to incarnate God, into their own place and circumstances. I'd like to share a few ways in which I think the early church did this using our reading from Acts, and a few ways I think we today still do this or must do this. First, as we read, the followers of Jesus devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. They devoted themselves. Now, devotion is not some pious individual practice of spiritual discipline. Devotion, as the word means in its original form, is persistence, dedication, perseverance. Devotion is doing something despite the resistance to not do it. Devotion is an active decision to keep going despite circumstances. It is an act of the will. It is determination. There were many reasons why the disciples should want to quit Jesus, especially after he left them. But rather than giving up, they held fast to his teaching and his way and devoted themselves to the same things Jesus taught them. They broke bread together. That is, they shared in the broken body of Christ, convinced that God is with God's children in the bitterest, bleakest parts of life. They never ceased to be together. They found ways, novel ways, if the tradition is to be believed. Have you heard of the origin of the Christian fish we see on bumpers? It was a secret sign to indicate that one was a follower of Jesus when it was not possible to be one publicly. Yes, they found novel ways to spend time together, praying, encouraging, and helping one another. Not unlike what we've had to do. Maybe minus the anxiety of persecution, but we have our own anxieties at this time, don't we? Anxieties of leaving our parent alone in care homes, unable to visit. Anxieties of unwittingly harming someone with a virus. Financial anxieties. Work anxieties. Political anxieties. And despite all the disciples' anxiety, the first followers devoted themselves to meeting regularly in the best ways that they could find. So to us. Doorstep visits, Zoom calls, Facebook live streams, letters, emails, phone calls, texts, to encourage one another and bring Christ, to incarnate Christ in our neighbors' lives. The incarnation isn't over. How else did the early church incarnate God in new places and in new times? Well, in our reading, it says they inspired awe. And how did they do that? Through the many wonders and signs they were doing. Imagine signs and wonders as a way to bring Christ to the world. Imagine yourself as a worker of signs and wonders. I wonder how it makes you feel. Wonders and signs were part and parcel of the daily ministry of Jesus. He made those stuck in their ways to get up and walk. He caused those who could not understand God's way to see with new eyes. He fed the hungry. He ate with sinners. He walked right over the turbulent waters of fear that cause us to despair of life itself. He forgave sins. He even took people who were sleeping, who were dead to God and to this world, and gave them new life. And the church, that is, the followers of Christ, too, have done wonders and signs throughout history, inspiring awe by bringing Christ to new places, like building hospitals, making education become accessible to all, incarnating Christ in new times so that slavery is abolished, women are given rights, children no longer have to work in coal mines, incarnating Christ in new places and in new times so that LGBTQ+ people are supported and celebrated, that indigenous self-determination and reconciliation is practiced. And so we too get to inspire awe with the signs and wonders we do. Imagine the sign pointing out that COVID-19 does not shut us away from our neighbors, but rather inspires wonderful ways to reach out to them. Imagine showing people that economic or environmental uncertainties don't have to lead us to despair, but can motivate us to point out signs of justice, peace, and creativity. That's how we still incarnate Christ in this world. Finally, in our reading, followers of Christ brought Jesus to the world in their generosity. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Imagine that. What a vision. What a witness to the love of God. What an incarnation of Christ. Now, before some of us shut our ears to a bunch of communist nonsense, let us pay careful attention to these words, as they are important for us to follow if we do indeed want to be faithful translators of Jesus in this world and for our time. There are some who might say that no Christian has the right to their own possessions, that each must give up what they have away. And to tell the truth, many extraordinary movements in the church have begun by taking such a view of this passage. St. Anthony moved to the desert, St. Benedict started the Benedictines, but most famously, St. Francis and the Franciscans. But what if this is not a proscription or a prohibition of property ownership, but rather a description of what things in this world are, what property actually is, what possession actually is? It is something held and is it something held and used for our own end or pleasure? Or is it given to us by God for a common good? They held things in common. Christian practice has been that property ownership isn't necessarily contrary to the way of Christ, but how we hold on to our possessions might be. Everything in this world is God's, borrowed by us to benefit the whole creation. Imagine if we as witnesses and translators of Jesus were to use our possessions not merely for our own enjoyment, but for the common good. Imagine if we truly saw our stuff, just as we pray at the offertory, as God's stuff, given to us, loaned to us for the benefit of the world. Imagine if we saw ourselves not as possessors, but as stewards. Oh, what a translation of Christ, what an incarnation of Christ that would be for the world, so set on acquiring, owning, marking, naming, claiming, guarding. Incarnation is not over. The story has not concluded. We are invited to take up our pen and write new chapters about how we brought Christ to the new places and times of our own. I wonder what you will write. Will you write about your devotion, your persistence in meeting together and praying for the well-being of the world? Will you write about the amazing wonders and signs you do as you bring healing and restoration to hearts that are broken? Perhaps you will write the story of an equitable distribution of God's world among all of God's creatures. God knows what you will write to help with the story of Christ's incarnation, and God will guide you, God will lead you, God will protect you with Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Amen.